Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
What is that?
It's kind of trying to do like a swoony, time-travel-y sigh, and I don't think it came out that great.
I had a friend
yeah.
named Rich in high school. And keep in mind, this was maybe 99, 2000. I was like maybe a sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-9/11, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Just to kind of put you in a time and place and mental state. But Rich, his party trick, aside from the fact that he once found a in Horsetooth Reservoir, which we live next to.
Absolutely going to bleep that because it was so horrifying a thing that you've said that I just don't want people to even know that that happened. So I will bleep that for folks. Anyway.
His other party trick.
Yeah.
He only did that first one time.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm glad.
His other party trick is that he would do a thing in class where he was able to sort of throw his voice in a way that I've never really seen anyone except for like ventriloquists do.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do this thing where he would do like a really subtle but noisy female moan.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
But he would do it without moving an inch or moving his mouth at all.
Your one sounds like, have you ever seen a video of like a turtle humping a shoe?
I know. He's really good at it. I'm less good at it. I've never, obviously never experienced it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of have to guess at it.
But, yeah. But you've seen, you clearly heard a lot of turtles humping shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've heard Rich do the female moan many times.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
So he used to just trot that out in class every now and then just to sort of sow a little chaos, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that's maybe what you were doing.
No, I was trying to do
you're just coming in hot with some female moans.
Yeah.
No, can you do it?
I think I probably
could.
Hear
you, I just want to hear what shape it takes from you.
I don't want to.
Let's just do it, man.
I don't want to.
Let's just do it. You want me to do it again with full of confidence and you can kind of draft off that?
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty weak.
What I was trying to do is like a swoony time travel-y sigh.
Oh, okay, because the movie was about time travel.
But it was pretty swoony, wasn't it?
What do you call that? Edwardian? 1912?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, it sort of took place in this Edwardian era. Everyone had that mid-Atlantic accent where they sort of sound British, but not really.
We should say what it is.
We should say what it is. Jack's wife, Sarah, made us watch the most bananas movie this week.
Yeah. It's called Somewhere in Time.
It's an absolute ride.
It's a fucking ride.
I never knew where it was going.
It stars Christopher Reeve and Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, Jane Seymour. And Christopher Plummer.
And Christopher Plummer.
Most famous for being a plumber, I think.
Is he? Was he?
I think so. Oh, no, sorry. Most famous for winning the Triple Crown of Acting.
There it is. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my wife, I think she watched this when she was a young, impressionable lady.
Okay. Yeah. And it's really stuck with her ever since. It's like me constantly suggesting Super Troopers to everyone I meet.
Yeah. It's like exactly
you got to
like
watch
that.
This movie.
You got to see Super Troopers. It's
so
fucking
funny.
Hilarious. It's so funny.
Yeah.
There's this one scene where they're like really high and they have to talk to a cop.
It's so funny. And that guy's
so
married
funny.
To Christina Hendricks. Did you know that?
Whoa. Yeah. No, I think it's exactly like that, where it's like the actual qualities of the movie are impossible to divorce in your mind from the person you were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you first when it first imprinted itself upon you.
Yeah, of course.
Which is not to say that this movie was bad. It's just fucking bananas.
It was just weird as hell. It was so weird. I have something to admit now.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm falling on my sword a little bit. I know this is going to embarrass me, and I think it'll embarrass
and by
a lot
extension,
of you too.
Me, because when you're embarrassed on our show, I'm embarrassed too.
I talk a lot about the 1998 film Kate and Leopold, starring Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman.
Don't worry, folks, it's on our list.
We'll get to it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here to admit and sort of like hat in hand come to you and say, I've never seen it, but I suspect that it's largely the same plot as this film.
Yeah, why not? It's
Don't
the same type of vibe, but in reverse.
But in reverse, yeah, it's someone coming from like Napoleon days to modern Manhattan.
Yeah, to fall in love with Meg Ryan.
Right, right, right.
Who would?
Yeah, so this is sort of the progenitor to that. I guess, is that a genre?
Time travel love movies?
Yeah, I guess like Inception would probably fall into that too.
Absolutely. Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
I think his wife died and he kind of goes back mostly to just like kick ass, but
yeah, that's
some of
good.
It is also that his wife died and he loves her still. I think it's been a while since I saw Time Cop. We'll put it on the list.
We're counting it as a romance.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think what a weird movie it was. I enjoyed watching it. I think I'm gonna really enjoy talking about it.
Yeah.
Should we describe the film?
Yeah, let's say it. So I guess what I first want to say is that I have read a book by Jack Finney called Time and Again.
Okay, is that the premise for Time Cop?
I think that Time Cop...
That's the basis for Time Cop?
...wouldn't exist without Jack Finney's Time and Again. That's
right,
what
okay.
I'll say. I loosely based on.
Yeah.
And Finney is mentioned in this movie.
Is he?
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman...
Yes.
...says at one point that she has read one of his books.
May I?
Of course.
This is incredible. This guy, Finney, he was my philosophy teacher at Millfield.
Really?
Yeah.
She read that book over and over.
Oh, okay. Was it the book that this movie is based on? Because then she should have seen a lot of the plot details coming through, like when he notices the penny in his pocket and...
But...
Presumably just vanishes from existence in her timeline.
This is all stuff that I could have researched and haven't. But
right,
what
no,
I'll say, just to kind of put a button on it, is that the time travel theory presented in Jack Finney's Time and Again, which is one of the like classic sci-fi novels, is absolutely fucking bonkers and absolutely exactly the time travel theory that is presented in this film.
I wouldn't even say this is a time travel theory. I would say this is a lucid dreaming technique.
Yeah.
Or like a hypnotism technique
so
of some sort.
It's more like Flatliners.
Yes, it's exactly like Flatliners. Or what's the movie where Kevin Bacon jacks in?
Inner Space?
No, I can't remember what it's called, but it's sort of like that,
A movie you and I like to talk about a lot is Dreamscape. It's kind of like that.
We talk about Dreamscape a lot? No, I think we talk about Netflix original movie Bright a lot.
That's, I guess,
with
also
Will Smith
true.
And Joel Edgerton.
Yes. Okay. Fine.
And that's not really about time travel at all.
No. And you've introduced it into the conversation in a way that I just don't know. It's like you just like dropped a stink bomb into the whole conversation in a
or
way
like
that,
a,
I don't
like a
I think
bright
we just,
bomb.
We have
you know?
To yeah abandon
like a flashbang.
I think we now just have to abandon. There's no coming back from it because it's like Bright has nothing to do with anything. It's not good. Nobody's seen
what do you mean
it.
It's not good? What do you mean no one's seen it? I've been running that flag up the flagpole for years now.
It was the first Netflix original movie. Everyone was like, this is not going to work, Netflix.
Well, guess what? Everyone is, after they canceled Babysitter's Club, everyone has come back around to saying it's not going to work, Netflix.
Exactly.
So I guess I was prescient in that way. There's a lot of time travel movies we could compare this to, but and I think in doing so, you and I would sort of have that nice kind of masturbatory feel of showing off how much we know about time travel movies,
yes.
which I'm drawn to.
Yeah, I'm drawn to that
But I'm not sure it's great audio.
Okay, well, let's continue then, and let's say.
But so I can talk about more about Bright, because I do don't think want that, that. Is, that could be rich audio.
I think that's that was bad for the last part of the conversation. I was excited that we moved on from it.
Okay.
And I think we now have to move on again, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to steer this ship back into calmer waters by stating again that this film has a really bonkers theory of time travel or whatever you want to call it. And maybe that's where we can start as we unpack this feature.
Yeah. So why
don't you say the theory?
The theory is, and we learned this from a professor at a small liberal arts college in rural Michigan.
Yeah.
There's a theory of time travel that states that if you remove any objects, any tangible objects from your line of sight, that will remind you of the modern day and instead replace them with like things that remind you of the time that you're trying to travel to.
Yeah, but you have to also dress that way.
And you have to dress that way, yes.
Yeah.
And then you record a little tape where you're sort of like convincing yourself that you have successfully traveled in time.
Yeah.
And then you take a little nap.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, you will have traveled through time.
I was lying down in that room. All the sights around me, a part of the past, even the sounds I heard. And I conceived a notion. What, I asked myself, if I attempt to hypnotize my mind, suggest to it that it isn't 1971, but 1571. I closed my eyes and fed a suggestion into my brain. It's August 1571. I am in the Hotel del Vecchio, and I spelled out the details for myself and did it over and over and again and again and again.
Yeah, but you gotta like really believe it, and there can be nothing to remind you of.
No. And that's unfortunately how the whole thing comes crumbling
fall apart.
Down is he, at the end of the film, pulls a penny out of his pocket and notices that its stamp says it's from 1979. By the way, this movie's from 1980.
Yeah.
And it sucks him back into the present time, much like the black demons and ghosts sucked all those bad guys
exactly
down to hell.
Exactly.
So that's the theory of time travel in this film. It's quite... They leave a lot on the table. They don't get into the details, you know? Yeah.
But Christopher Reeve goes up to this professor and he says,
I have a question for you, sir.
And then the Is This True music plays.
Yeah.
Is time travel possible?
That is a question.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, yeah, it totally is. Let's start from the beginning. It starts, it's a frat party with Superman. And
yeah, it's a frat party with Superman.
Yeah.
He's a young playwright.
Yeah, he's a young playwright at a frat party, and they're having a good time doing keg stands and shit, or whatever it is that they did in the 80s.
Yeah,
and,
cocaine, I think.
Yes. And then Rose from the Titanic.
Yeah, she sort of appears.
Appears, and they're like, who's that old lady? And she just goes, come back to me.
Come back to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? But then he does. And it
he's
creates...
He's so intrigued by it that he goes back to the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island, Michigan.
Yeah.
Which is a place near his college, but it's like 8 years later.
Yeah.
He's graduated from college.
He can't get her out of his head.
But he can't get her out of his head.
Something about her. Yeah.
So he goes back to do a little, to sort of immerse himself in her world.
Yeah.
To see if he can learn anything about her.
Yeah.
And he does. He learns
who she is. She was a babe, mega babe.
Yeah, mega babe, really good at acting, the best actor of her times, had this like overbearing manager played by Christopher Plummer, most notably, most known for his plumbing skills.
Yes. No. Three-time acting award recipient.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have that.
Just got it right up there. Yeah, it's not the plumbing. And he's so hot for the hot Dr. Quinn in the photo from the old times. That
Christopher
he can't sleep.
Reeve or...
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
He can't sleep in his tiny bed. He has his tiny bed and he can't sleep in it because he's so hot for the picture.
Yeah, he's sort of a hulk of a man. Here's a question for you, Jack. If Christopher Reeve, God bless his soul, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
We're still alive. Let me rephrase this. Okay. If Christopher Reeve came up in the modern day,
yeah,
do you think he would be a hunky movie star? Do you think he'd be one of the Chris's? Like, do you think we'd be talking about him alongside like Chris Pine and...
I had in my notes that I wanted to have Sarah, my wife, come on the podcast and hold forth about Christopher Reeve's handsomeness. I'm not going to because she had a really rough night last night. The baby didn't sleep. But she was speculating along the same lines where it's like, he's so handsome.
Yeah, I don't know if Jamie was just trying to make me feel better, but she was like, his lips are too thin.
No, he's literally like a perfect specimen of a man.
But
like,
I was watching
perfect.
A scene where he and Jane Seymour were like kissing, and I was like, I've never seen two more beautiful people kiss in my life.
I've never seen two more beautiful lips, four more beautiful lips pressed together.
It's not even sexual. It's like awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in awe.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about his handsomeness. It's kind of otherworldly, and it like maybe doesn't fit in this time and place anymore, but it is a very profound and striking handsomeness that he has.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's handsome, obviously, and she's a mega babe. And he's like, I'm going to do... I found this professor. Fortunately, I found this professor. Oh, she gives him a clock.
Yeah, she shows up to his like first play. That's the frat party Jack was talking about. And she says, come home to me. And she gives him a clock.
She's like, here's a clock. And then he goes to like the lady who is the archivist of all of her acting memorabilia. And he's like, hey, I know this is weird, but she gave me this clock. And the lady's like, whoa, that clock was like her favorite fucking thing. She just gave it to some rando at a frat party.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Well, she gave it to me, ma'am, at the opening night of a play that I wrote at Millfield College about 8 years ago.
Well, it was very precious to her. She never left it out of her possession. It disappeared the night she died.
She died that night.
Won't you come in, please?
And then he's like, okay, obviously time travel is the next step.
Yeah. Is that a paradox?
Well, yeah. So let's talk about the paradox. I've got some theories.
Okay.
So the obvious paradox is, where did the clock come from?
Yeah. And when did she give it to him?
The clock gets into his hands. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, when she's a young lady, is given that clock by Christopher Reeve.
Right, exactly.
Back in time.
It's very confusing.
And then she gives it back to him. So where did the clock come from?
And who met who first? Because he is so compelled by her that he feels the need to travel back in time to seek her out.
Yeah.
But when he gets there, she has seemed to have heard of him, but not really. So like,
she's expecting him in this like kind of
cosmic way.
Cosmic way.
I never really explain it. So, like, did he woo her or did she woo him?
Let me run another theory by you. When we first meet Rose from the Titanic, which is old, is what I'm calling old Dr. Quinn medicine woman.
Yeah.
80s version. In my theory that I'm running by you.
Yes.
She's never met him before. She's just a horny old lady.
Right. Okay. So then she just goes to his play.
She's a horny old lady. She goes to a frat party and she's like, look at this. It's Christopher Reeve. He's the handsomest guy I've ever seen. I'm going to see if I can trick this fucking beautiful man into traveling back in time.
To like fuck me in my prime.
To fuck me in my prime.
Yeah.
And that's how the time loop starts. And then it's a real time loop.
And that's powerful love, you know?
Yeah.
That's a powerful attraction.
Yeah.
The only other person I've ever known to pull that off is Captain America.
Did he did that?
Yeah, famously in the Avengers movies.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a spoiler, by the way, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
But that's like several years
ago. Oh yeah, he pulled that off too, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Except he never manages to pull like a penny from 2016 out of his pocket.
But I think that the horny old lady theory of time travel, it doesn't completely get rid of all of the paradoxes, but it creates one easy paradox, which is just the paradox of time travel, and it gets rid of some of the other ones, where it's like, where did the clock come from? It's like, she was just an old lady with a clock, and that's how it started. She had never met him before.
Yeah.
So I think that's one theory, but then he does go back in time, and it's very romantic, isn't it?
It's pretty romantic. It's also pretty weird, and... It's an odd time period to choose because Jamie came and sat down and she's like, ooh, is this Regency? And I said, no, it's like 1912.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit too modern to feel old timey, but it's also, I don't know, it felt like a weird time period to focus on. But he also, he goes back in time. He wears this funny suit that apparently is like 10 years out of date when he manages to actually find his way back to 1912.
Oh, really?
Did you miss that part? They
probably
are constantly making fun of him for his
because like, his suit is too
corny
old?
Suit.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, mon chéri, we meet again.
Yes. Hello.
I so admire a man not hidebound by the dictates of fashion.
Yeah.
That suit. I haven't seen one like it for a decade.
A decade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then he falls asleep and wakes up in 1912.
Yeah, he makes it happen. The professor who taught it to him was like, I've only managed to do it once, and it only lasted for a second.
Right, right.
But the such is the strength of his love, I think we're expected to assume.
Yeah, I think so. But my question is, like, if you had the ability to sort of, like, manifest whatever you want in the dream world.
Yeah.
First of all, are you Freddy Krueger? Because that's his thing.
Yeah.
Second of all, why would you go back to 1912? Like, go and, like, go play the stock market, you know?
Jane Seymour is really stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, go back to 1912 and get her and bring her back to, like, 1970.
At least make a bet in 1912, I guess. But he's already filthy rich from all the plays he's writing.
Oh, yeah, I guess he doesn't really need money, right? In fact, money is, like, ultimately what takes him down.
They do a scroll. Oh, that's such a good point. But they do a scroll at one point where we see him in his, like, penthouse apartment. You know, in the 80s, like, writing plays was the ticket, you know?
Oh, yeah. The,
writing plays was the equivalent of being, like, really into crypto.
Yeah. Everyone saw Tony Kushner, like, finding so much success.
They're like, we want to throw a ton of money at this. But they do a scroll of, like, all the plays he's written. I only wrote one down, but one of them is called Passionate Apathies. But he's kind of jaded and broken, isn't he?
A little bit. I think he's just sort of lovesick for this hottie from the past.
But he doesn't, until he realizes that she exists, there's something missing, quite clearly missing in his life. And then he realizes she exists, but she's in the past. And he's like, I'm used to having everything I want. I do a lot of fucking cocaine. It's the 80s. I wrote a play called Passionate Apathies, and it fucking bought me this penthouse. Literally anything is possible. I'm going to figure out time travel. He does go back in time. And then, like, not much really
happens.
Yeah.
No, they sort of, there's a little bit of tension, but it's really just the most minor amount of tension possible between him and
Christopher Plummer. But Christopher Plummer, it turns out, isn't even that. He's like a little bit protective of her.
Because he's like her agent.
Yeah.
But I also think he sort of had designs to like be with her. You know?
Probably, yeah. He's got a funny mustache.
Yeah. And he's like 1,000 years older than her.
Yeah.
Can I ask you sort of a sensitive question?
You can ask.
And I know I'm kind of digging into your psyche quite a lot this week with all the, like, making you moan
it's
like
been a lot.
Female.
You made me moan like a lady.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in terms of, like, historical figures that you would want to go back in time to bed.
Yeah.
What, like, who are your, like, who's your top three, maybe?
Eleanor of Aquitaine, number one, with a fucking bullet. Lady Godiva on the horse, probably.
Oh, is that she the one who like had sex with a horse, or was that Lady Catherine?
Lady Catherine did not have sex with a horse, but a rumor emerged to discredit her that she did. So, yes.
Oh, okay, and I guess I have continued to discredit
her. Yeah, and you are perpetuating a centuries-old unfair attack on Catherine the Great.
Who's Bathory? She bathed in virgin blood?
Who?
Bathory?
I don't know who that is.
Okay. I saw a Spawn, Todd McFarlane action figure of it once.
And then I'll just say for my number three, Boadicea. And I know you motherfuckers think it's Boudica, but it's not.
Oh, I was going to say Boadicea too, and it's Boudica.
It's not. I mean,
I was going to say Boudica too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. As long as we're not like, we'll just get our calendars.
No, we can't. We have an agreement that we can't.
No, I know. I'm just
woman.
Saying we go on different days. I mean, assuming
I
she'll have us, by God.
Oh, but I'll just, like, I'll show her my iPhone and be like, I'm from the future.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's imperative.
In case our wives are listening, it's not cheating because it happened before we met you.
No, it happened before you were even born.
Way before.
How am I supposed
to
teach you? How am I supposed to cheat on you when you're not even born yet?
Yeah.
Good. My
Thanks
other
for asking.
Two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't ask you. Yeah.
Oh, do you want to know? You don't have. No, it's fine.
No, I guess I'm curious. As long as none of them are Pokemons.
No, none of them can be Pokemon?
Well, you know what? It's your thing, man. I don't want to make rules. It's your game that we're playing.
Deanna Troi.
Deanna Troi. Yes. Okay. So
I guess I would have to jump forward in time for that.
Any historical woman from the past, and your choice, your first choice, apart from one that I said, is Counselor Troi from the Starship Enterprise. Okay. Yep. Great.
Time is cyclical.
Yep.
Murphy Brown?
Crushed it. Okay, Murphy Brown.
I just kind of like her. Like, yeah. I like her confidence, you know, her strength. I find that very
attractive.
I like
her energy, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. She had a baby by herself. She wasn't afraid to.
So strong.
So strong. Dan Quayle really
so
fucking
attractive.
Stepped in it. Yeah.
All right. I feel good about those answers.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely nailed it. Let's see. So let's just recap. Rose from the Titanic gets horny, goes to a frat party, gives a man a clock, and is like, I don't know. It's possible that he won't go back in time to fuck me in my prime, but if he does, that's going to be a sweet memory I can have tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to ride that one right into the eternal bliss.
Yeah. And she does, because she dies the next day.
Yeah, she does die the next day.
Yeah.
He reads about it in a book.
Yeah. not to laugh at that. It's
no,
sad.
No, no.
But, you know, one assumes that Rose from the Titanic died right after she threw that fucking necklace in the pond.
Yeah, because Bill Pullman killed her.
Did he?
I assume so. That's his whole life goal, was to find that heart of the ocean.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I saw the Titanic.
And if he had caught wind that she had it the whole time and threw it into the ocean, he's probably pretty fucking
He'd
pissed
be
off.
Furious, yeah. That's a really good point.
And I think it was Bill Paxton.
You know what? Let's do it. You know what would be good? Would be a...
if you're going to say Titanic-themed Halloween costume, yeah, Andrea and I have already talked about it. I would go as Bill Paxton.
Who's Andrea? Our friend, Andrea?
Andrea, our friend.
Okay, well, I'm saying for
Titanic,
the... Titanic,
you know,
super people fan. Who listen to this podcast. There's an audience.
You could go as young Rose. Andrea will go as old Rose.
Okay.
I think there's a whole theme costume in there. I think you can accommodate up to 6 friends.
Can we carry the little piece of piano?
The door?
Yeah, the door. That's what it is. Sorry. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
We'll carry the door. And then we'll all like demonstrate.
Oh, we got to watch that movie.
For the party that we can all fit on it. And be like, see? And then everyone will be like, what about buoyancy?
Yeah. All right, Bill Nye the Science Guy. What about it?
Listen, that's not what I was pitching. I pitch? I'm pitching a sequel to Titanic that's called like The Search for the Missing Jewel.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's Bill Paxton and like a bunch of fucking like deep sea divers, and they go looking for the heart of the ocean.
Yeah,
and probably there's
that'll
like
that. You think that'll be interesting to watch?
Monster in the ocean.
Monster in the ocean's a good idea. Yeah.
Titanic 2.
Did this movie feel a little bit like an episode of Doctor Who to you?
Yeah, totally.
It did to me too. It's like the episode where he goes back and makes
with Van Gogh,
Vincent Van Gogh, cry. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's also a spoiler.
Yeah, sorry. it's a very strange movie. I kind of recommend it. Christopher Reeve is so handsome. And Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, what a babe. And they do swoonily fall in love.
Yeah, and they do have... One of the last things they do in the film is have a quite intimate, horny sex scene.
Oh, yeah.
There was minutes left, and they were like getting into the sex scene, and I was like, wow, what a move to end the film on a sex scene.
Yeah. It's
leave
very
them wanting
horny.
More, you know?
What do you say we take a quick break and, I guess, say the rest of the movie, though I think we've said most of it.
Well, we should probably talk about what happens to Christopher Reeve at the end of the film.
Yeah,
because we do need to litigate whether or not this is truly a romance.
Okay, perfect.
So we'll start there.
Okay, let's take a quick break and do that.
Okay.
Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's journey. A game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At the 1 hour and 10 minute mark of this film, they do, because you were talking about a big horny sex scene, and that made me think of this. They have the first kiss.
Okay, right.
They do a big kiss. And
yes.
She says, "Oh my God. What's happening?"
"Oh my God. What's happening?"
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's 1912.
So I think maybe kissing hadn't been invented in this timeline.
No, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
No one had ever thought to do it. Because if you think about it, it's just like, it's in our cultural vocabulary, so we don't question it. But it's not a natural thing to think of doing if you hadn't heard of it.
No. It's pretty
gross.
Like,
let's mush our lips together.
Yeah. In fact, one scene in this film at the end when they're like post-coital.
Yeah.
And they're like sitting there like having a little picnic in her bedroom.
Yeah.
She is like literally wolfing down on fried chicken. Like she's just like going to town on this fried chicken.
Yeah.
And Christopher Reeve like cannot help himself. He has to go in for like a deep kiss right there.
Yeah. So he is just trying to get some of that sweet fried chicken off her.
But also, like, think about how disgusting kissing is. Because it's like, yeah,
that's horrible.
I just ate a bunch of fried chicken. You want to kiss me now? Yeah.
You want to hear? So, "Oh my God, what's happening?" goes down in history as top five things to say to someone when they first kiss you. Would you like to hear what the first woman that I kissed said to me as it happened?
Yeah, please.
Let me see if I can get it right, because it really stuck in my head. This one really stuck with me. "I guess you were drunker than I thought."
Oh, yeah.
It was at a party, and like, I didn't want to kiss her, and I wasn't expecting it, and I was trying to prevent it from happening by suggesting that I was drunker than I was.
Oh, nice. Right.
But then it did happen. And, you know, it was like in someone's dorm room. It's just like, I don't know if it's a college thing or I was like, this isn't very private.
No.
And it went really badly. And then she was like, "You know what? You are too drunk to be doing this with. I'm sorry." And it was, it really kind of stuck with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you know, I guess.
You'll let. Oh, yeah. When, yeah. If when it happens for you.
Yeah. You'll be tell the first me. To know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be. It looks awesome from the movie.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look awesome. Yeah. I will say this. Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour kiss in a very upsetting way. Particularly Christopher Reeve. He is sort of like, he keeps his mouth open a lot.
Maybe that take is like, that's not in the script. That's actually just Jane Seymour, the actress, saying, oh my God, what is happening? And they're like, right, oh, let's keep it. We'll keep it. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We don't want to do this again. This was the best take we had.
That was a kiss?
Oh my God.
I thought you were trying to get, I thought you were literally trying to steal the fried chicken out of my mouth.
And let's see what else. 420 is in this?
420 is in this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. April, he travels back to time on April 19th?
No, I'll tell you when he travels back in time, and it's interesting. I'll share my thoughts on that after I talk about this.
Okay.
The reason he knows that time travel is possible is he looks at an old address book that's like for the hotel where she lived or whatever.
Yeah, he's constantly harassing this old man who is the caretaker of the hotel, who never bats an never questions it. He's just like, yes, sir, Mr. Collier. Like, I will go to the attic and get that guest book from 1912 for you.
Yeah.
It's only 3 a.m.
Arthur? Come on, wake up. Hi, Arthur. I'm really sorry to wake you up, but you're the only one who can help me. Listen, you know those things in the Hall of History display cases? Where do they come from? Is this our storeroom or something? Arthur, please, where do those things come from?
The attic, Mr. Guy.
But he sees that he has signed in. And he's like, that means that I must have been there. And it's like room 416. And then when he does go back in time, he's like, what room is Jane Seymour in? And they show him to room 420. And he's like, whoa, are you sure that's the right room?
Yeah. I mean, I like to party, but I didn't bring any supplies with me back to 1912. You know what I mean?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Are you sure this is the right room?
The right room, sir? I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dills. That room is reserved. Forgot to put a notice in the slot.
I'm very sorry.
I also think a lot of people were probably just doing opium back then.
I think that was the thing. So this is maybe why they have an affinity, is because he's doing all this cocaine at frat parties, which is the 80s version.
Yes.
Opium dens in the early teens.
Yeah.
And he does find her, but Christopher Plummer is like protective of her.
Yeah. And he's like her manager, but also like is in love with her and is very protective of her on both fronts, because Christopher Reeve is a playwright and introduces himself as a playwright and also like makes his intention to get it on with her pretty clear from the get-go.
Yeah.
So I guess if I were in Christopher Plummer's shoes, I would be a little threatened too.
Well, he doesn't own her, does he?
No, that's not what I said. Sexually threatened.
Yeah, I guess he's trying to get with it.
You see this big slab of beef, Christopher Reeve,
I know.
Literally appear out of nowhere and be like, I've traveled across time and space.
And everyone kind of seems to accept that that's what has happened.
Yeah.
Broadly. Yeah. Like Christopher Plummer kind of is like, I think this guy is from the future.
Yeah, I think so too. There's also this delightful French lady who he keeps bumping into.
Yeah.
Who seems to see through his guise as well.
Yeah.
Flustered, my sweet? Qu'est-ce que c'est? Never seen an actrice en déshabillé before?
I liked her.
She does a play, right?
She does do a play, yeah.
We see her play, and she gives this like weird monologue that kind of feels like it's at us.
Yeah, and it maybe is in the play, but maybe not. No one really reacts to it. It's oddly specific. It's just about like how this man like appeared out of nowhere, and she's so in love with him, and she's like barreling Christopher Reeve in the audience the entire time.
Yeah,
but no one seems to. Everyone's just like, well, that's one of the best parts of that play. The part where she talked about a time traveling hunk coming to like fuck her.
I'm amazed he has the least desire to marry. He's so happily wedded to his gold.
Well, perhaps it won't be all that bad, miss. There must be something you like about him.
Yes, his absence.
The
man of my dreams has almost faded now.
And what man is that, miss?
The one I have created in my mind. The sort of man each woman dreams of in the deepest and most secret reaches of her heart. I can almost see him now before me. What would I say to him if he were really here?
There are these two guys, so they hone in on the audience, like they zoom in on the audience. This is at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark. And there are these two dudes in the audience who are like really kind of overacting, like how into the monologue they are. They keep like turning to each other and being like, what? Whoa, yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah. And Tanner,
you don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played that fuck apart.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think we both could have.
Yeah, I would have loved to just sort of bite off a piece of that. You know, I think I could have made a lot of hay with that.
Would you like to record with me now just a few reactions?
It.
So, because they we don't hear them. We just hear her monologue, but, and we see them.
I think just for the DVD.
And then for maybe for the DVD extras.
For the commentary track.
Do that. We can send it to them. And they can...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can overdub it if they like it or not.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Do you want to do it on IMDb just to sort of put it out in the world? Like additional dialogue?
Yes.
Or like cut scene or something like that?
I think we should put this as additional dialogue on the IMDb page. Yes.
Okay.
For this movie. Yes, absolutely.
I'm navigating to the page now.
Okay, perfect. That's great.
Somewhere in time. Do you want to know any of the did you know stuff that already exists?
Sure, if it's interesting, I guess.
Goofs.
Goofs.
Recurring throughout the movie and specifically referred to in the lover's conversation is the lyric... Uh-oh, where did it just go?
I found it. Goofs. Recurring throughout the movie and specifically referring to the lover's conversation is the lyric melody from Rachmaninoff, Rhapsody on a Theme by Paganini.
Paganini, but doctor, I am Paganini.
This work did not exist in 1912. It was composed and premiered in 1934. This is done by design.
Yeah, because she says at some point, like, oh, I love that song. What is it? And he's like, oh, it's Rachmaninoff.
Yeah, interesting. That's fascinating. Well, we're going to add our own trivia here.
Yeah, let's add our own trivia. Is there, like, cut scenes or cut dialogue or additional dialogue or something like that we can put in here? Alternate versions?
Yeah, we can do alternate versions.
That's perfect.
Okay. So I'll just, like, add one item.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to add... So we're going to workshop the dialogue. So I'll just put this in now. In the scene where Elise... Is that her name?
Her name is Elise McKenna, but we just call her Dr. Finn Medicine Woman.
I don't see, they're not going to accept
just
it.
Just to avoid confusion, you know?
Okay, great. Well, now we're not going to get it accepted.
Well, no. Well, I don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot, you know? This feels important.
In the scene where...
Call her Elise McKenna, I guess.
Okay.
Elise, it's not how I know her, you know?
Is reading her monologue. Two men in the audience react with surprise and admiration.
Okay.
In an alternate version of the script, we hear those reactions. Good?
We hear that dialogue.
Great. It proceeds as follows.
Okay, perfect.
Or it is as follows?
Either way, it's IMDb, not the New Yorker.
So what do we want to call these guys?
That's a good question. I think they would have names if they had lines. So
let's give them
what's
really
a real 1912-y names? You know?
Greg.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's do Greg, and then we'll do a really 1912-y one. Like
most popular boys' names in, let's see, how old would you think he was? About 30?
Yeah, I think they're in their 30s.
So 1880. We'll say 1880.
Yeah.
Okay. Not going to surprise you. It's all Bible names.
Yeah, Thomas.
John, William, James, George, Charles, Frank, Joseph, Henry, Robert, Thomas, Edward, Harry, Walter. Ooh, Walter's kind of nice.
Walter's pretty good. Let's get something a little bit more exotic if one of them's going to be Greg.
Okay. Well, there's Willie in here, or Elmer.
Elmer. Okay.
Elmer feels right.
All right, so now we'll just, I'm going to put a few lines of dialogue for them. We'll just, and then you and I can workshop it. We'll do it over the... over the track so folks can hear what it would have sounded like.
Okay.
Would you want to be Greg or Elmer?
Elmer.
Okay. All right. Let's just start.
I can embody the. No, I think you should be Elmer because you can do the like mid-Atlantic accent.
Oh, can I?
You have claimed to me before in the past that you can do any English accent. You're pretty proud of it, in fact.
But a mid-Atlantic accent is very specifically like in the ocean outside of England.
No, it's not, dummy. It's what they all. It's the way they all. It's like the way Katharine Hepburn talked in all those movies from the like 40s. It's like vaguely English. Can you do it?
I'm not off the top of my head. But let's run this.
Okay.
Because we want to get the lines.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start.
Okay. Should we get in character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're watching a play. If we close our eyes and do this, maybe it will actually happen.
Oh yeah.
Like in the movie.
I'm gonna try it tonight.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
I'm amazed he has the least desire to marry. He's so happily wedded to his gold.
Yeah, perhaps it won't be all that bad, miss. There must be something you like about him.
Yes, his absence.
The man of my dreams has almost faded now.
Whoa! What's your name again, Greg?
Yeah.
Hello, Greg, it's me. What's my name again?
Elmer.
And what man is that, miss?
Tis I, Elmer.
The one I have created in my mind.
Hail and well met. Are you watching, are you catching this theatrical experience, these bards, and what they're saying on stage?
Yeah, whoa!
Okay. Greg, it's 1912. So this, the concept I'm about to sort of introduce to you hasn't been invented yet, but I have it on good authority from a gentleman here in the audience named Superman that in the future there is an improv technique called yes anding. And the way it works is
you give them something to work off.
Like a conversation with someone, you give them a little bit of like meat, you know, to kind of chew on.
Let's start again. Let's take this again. From the top.
Are we is this kind of
out of character? Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Okay, let's take this again.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start again.
Yeah, please.
And I'm Greg still, right?
Yeah, I'm going down the list here of names that were popular in 1880.
Yeah.
Jeff is on here. It was the 192th.
Okay, with a J?
Most popular name.
Or a G?
Yeah. With
okay,
a Jeff.
Fine.
With a
let's
J.
go with Jeff. That's fine. Okay. Let's start again, and let's try to get into character.
I was in character.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm amazed he has the least desire to marry. He's so happily wedded to his gold.
Perhaps it won't be all that bad, miss. There must be something you like about him.
Yes, his absence.
The man of my dreams has almost faded now.
Whoa, what's she talking about? Hail and well met, adventurer. I'm quite enjoying this play.
And
did you come with
that?
Anyone?
Just you, Elmer.
Okay, we came together.
Yes.
And?
Remember? There was a...
You're doing it.
Weird, awkward thing that happened to us in the carriage.
I remember. I was sort of dreamily looking out the window, sort of musing to myself about how I wished a huge, handsome hunk would manifest in front of me.
I've never known this.
And I would fall in love with him. So it has striking.
I've lived without it all my life.
She's still talking.
It has a striking similarity to what this actress is saying. And I hope the same thing that happened to me doesn't happen to her, which is that I was there in my estate. In my hunting outfit, hunting some pheasants.
I can tell you how my life has changed.
As you know.
Yeah.
And a big shimmering bubble appeared on the ground in front of me and then disappeared. And inside of the bubble was a naked brute of a man who demanded I hand over my Shakespeare collar.
mm-hmm.
that I was, he said, give me your Shakespeare collar.
Yeah.
And my monocle.
Yes. That I was wondering why you didn't have your Shakespeare collar or your monocle.
Yeah. And then I think, I don't think he brought a gun back with him from the future. Is that right?
You can't.
He needed, yeah. So he found a musket.
Yeah.
And he just walked off.
And you know, the weirdest thing happened to me as well. That same yes. time, which is why I was late.
Right.
Jean-Claude Van Damme shot out of the sky in a cop yeah. uniform. And
no, I was there. I saw
arrested it. Me for public drunkenness.
No, I know. And seeing his cop outfit
yeah.
immediately hurtled me back through time and space to yeah. modern day.
Yes.
And it turns out that I've been now.
Oh, yes.
Tanner Greenring the whole time.
If yes, really and I'm here. Jack Shepard.
And yeah. you're recording the podcast now.
Yes.
It may not have sounded like that to you, the sex buds and bed pots. You probably yeah. thought like, oh, they've brought in these two new gentlemen.
Yeah.
But that we were actually just in character.
Yes. And I didn't write any of that down for IMDb. So should we just do a truncated version?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. So I guess what we can say is like alternate scene, like in the first version of this script.
Right.
They sort of introduce time travel plot lines that may have inspired later sci-fi films such as Terminator and Time Cop.
Okay, perfect.
You're going to write that down? Two characters in the theater scene named Jeff and Homer, or whatever my name was.
Jeff and Elmer.
Elmer. Sort of a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's between two characters named Jeff and Elmer who have a conversation about time travel that may well have provided the seeds for future, for later time travel, the inspiration.
Yeah. I would also say that it sort of foreshadows the ending of the film as well, if you're really paying attention.
Okay. That foreshadows the ending of the film.
Which we should tell the bedpots about.
And may well have provided inspiration for later time travel films such as Terminator and Time Cop. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to... Should I submit that?
I think so, yeah. I don't see any reason why not.
Okay. Well, let me just read it back to you, and then we'll put it on. Okay. Here we go. In the scene where Elise is reading her monologue, two men in the audience react with surprise and admiration. In an alternate version of the script, we hear that dialogue. It's between two characters named Jeff and Elmer, who have a conversation about time travel that foreshadows the ending of the film, and may well have provided the inspiration for later time travel films such as Terminator and Time Cop. Does that sound right?
As far as I know, that's true.
All right, that's going in alternate versions on Somewhere in Time's IMDb. I'm going to get banned. Do you think I can get arrested?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. You're worried about it? Oh, you're proofreading.
Yes.
So let me tell you what happens at the end of the book, Sex Bugs, is they get done porking.
Yeah.
And they seem to have a very good time because they need to refuel afterwards.
Yeah.
They need to, like, get out their picnic and have some gamer fuel.
Yeah.
fried chicken and, like, I don't know what appears
Mountain
to be
Dew
like.
Mountain Dew Code Red.
I think it was, like, brandy. And then they're chit-chatting, and they're sort of talking about their future together and how much they love one another. And I don't remember what the driving force behind it was, but Christopher Reeves reaches into his pocket
mm-hmm.
and pulls out a penny, and it says 1979 on it. And
he's like, no!
She starts screaming, he starts screaming, and then he wakes up in 1980 again.
The sleeves fit. It's pretty good because my arm's about 9 feet long. And I've got pockets everywhere. I could pull rabbits out of here. Oh, yeah, this is the best part. This is a special coin compartment for emergency.
Richard. Richard. Richard! 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 Richard!
And then he dies.
And then he dies, and he goes to the... Yeah, he's just sort of like... The spark goes out in his life,
yeah.
You know? They, like, the hoteliers find him, like, rotting to death like that guy in Seven.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's where we can sort of debate whether or not this is a romance movie, because according to the strict bylaws of romance, it needs to have a happy ending where they get together in the end, which this movie does have, because they find one another in this endless white plane. Remember the endless white plane from that Harry Potter movie where they find the sort of like little fetus fetus Voldemort?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's that same place.
Okay, it's the same place, yeah.
Yeah.
But before...
And they find one another there.
Yeah.
So I guess it is a romance then, right?
I don't think so, man. Because
they've both passed?
I think they both passed.
You think she was just hanging out in that white space with baby Voldemort for like 70 years?
That'll fuck you up. If that happens, even if you're like, your intention is to wait for your time-traveling lover to die, like by the time he gets there, you're going to be like corrupted.
You will be corrupted, or, you know, like, I think what I suspect would happen is he shows up in the white space and she's like, oh my God, you finally made it. Like, so much has happened. I need to introduce you to my husband.
Yeah.
Fetus Voldemort. He was the only companionship I had.
The only companion. So. It turns out we had a lot in common.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So that's all. Do you want to add that to IMDb?
I don't, just because for some reason, I'm like, I really want IMDb's approval. Like, on our Patreon, we added the IMDb fact to an episode of Perfect Strangers. I didn't expect it to get accepted, but it did get accepted, and now it shows
now
up.
Now it's an X-ray.
It's an X-ray, so like, if you watch that the first episode of season 5 of Perfect Strangers on Amazon Prime, it'll show, like, and you look at the X-ray, it'll show our silly fact. And I, like...
You think we're being too chaotic?
No, I'm into it. I feel like the people at IMDb are like, oh, great. There's a new like contributor who like knows all this really interesting trivia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so I crave their approval, but I also know that like my house of cards could come crashing down around me.
Yeah, I think we just keep building it until that happens.
Also,
and then
IMDb is one of those things where like you have to like sign in using your like actual identity.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're definitely gonna go to jail for that.
IMDb police. That's gonna be like Time Cop 2, man. Like the IMDb police are gonna show up at my house one day.
Do you want to add that to the trivia for this film?
I think the trivia we've added is kind of plausible.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think we should push our luck. Yeah. Jeff and Elmer. And if we can give them a real life and somewhere in time.
Yeah. I think if we, next time we do a time travel romance.
We're doing what this movie did, which is like they created a happening that didn't happen in the time stream.
Yeah, it's called reification.
Yeah, and we're doing that for these guys. Who knows? Maybe they were those guys.
Just by manifesting something in your mind,
yeah,
and speaking it aloud, you breathe life into
yes.
it, and it becomes real.
It becomes real.
And Jeff and Elmer are as real as Jack and Tanner
yeah.
have ever been.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
At least to me, they are. I think next time we do a time travel movie, which we definitely are going to do again
yeah,
very soon, because
yeah.
we do have to do Time Cop and
yeah.
Kate and Leopold.
Yeah.
I think we can probably bring, like, trot Jeff and Elmer back out.
Yeah, I would hope
so. Just sort of see, like, how they would handle these time travel situations.
Yeah.
So look forward to them coming back out, I guess.
I'm looking forward to those guys. I think they're going to be recurring characters for us. I think that we really kind of created a life and breathed life into them.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there anything else you want to say about this film before we go?
No, I would watch it if I were you because it's just so weird.
It's weird and fun.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know when Christopher Reeve had his unfortunate accident, but it's like prime Christopher Reeve, just
it's
like
prime
strapping hunk of beef.
Reeve. Yeah.
Squeezed into this comically out of date suit from 1902.
Yeah. And Dr.
Quinn
painted on is great in it, and Christopher Plummer is great in it. And I guess that's it. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me.
Hey, you're welcome, Jack.
Yeah. I'd like to thank the Baby Nation and the Bedpots and the Sex Bugs for pairing with us. We do love and mm-hmm. kiss you. I would like to say that you got to subscribe to our Patreon. It's tons of fun over there. We're talking about the TGIF shows. You must know that by now. Come just jump in. Water's warm. It's a blast.
September 29th, 1989 yeah. for us right now.
Yeah.
So in a way, we're also somewhere in
time.
We're in time is
September 29th, 1989. We're having a blast. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast, and it's only $5 a month. What else? You should join our Facebook group, Baby Nation, on Facebook.
Baby Nation.
And rate and review the show and recommend it to a friend. Do you have any friends who like romance movies? Guess what?
No.
There's a super fun podcast that's talking about the good ones. Just that's how you say it. I'm talking to the audience as usual.
Okay.
And all that remains is for me to say that this week we did watch a film. It was called Somewhere in Time by Jeanne Svark, directed. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm sorry, Jeanne, if I pronounce your name wrong.
Other notable films that Jeanne Svark directed?
Sam.
Jaws 2.
Whoa. Okay.
Santa Claus the Movie.
Wow. What a fucking resume.
Yeah.
Next week, I don't know, Reality Bites?
Yeah. Yeah. Next week, we're going to be watching Reality Bites. We're sort of on a movie kick right now because we're a little busy with work. Eventually, we will sort of like find our way back to books, but we're having a lot of fun watching some classic romance films.
Yeah. I think movies are going to be a pretty heavy part of our diet for the foreseeable future. And we'll bring some books in. Keep recommending books because we'll do them one at a time.
I would love to read a romance manga with you.
Yeah, I would
if
like
if anyone
that
has any good recommendations for romance mangas.
I'm sure they exist.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope you find your happily ever after.
Thank you, I will.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Be very